مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Booklet Blessings of Salat and Salam, Saying of the Final Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam, Number 15. Sayyiduna Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu an humbly stated in the court of the Prophet that I will leave all my litanies and invocations and spend my entire time in sending salat upon you. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam said, this will be enough to remove all your worries and your sins will be forgiven. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My name is Shahid Attari. I am from Rawalpindi, Pakistan. My question in your court is that at times it is seen when people come to the masjid, they take their shoes off, place them in the shoe rack, and then enter the masjid and recite the Quran whilst holding it in their hands. In this case, are we allowed to pick up the Qur'an and recite it? Please guide us in this regard.
If you have taken off shoes and placed them in the shoe rack, this wouldn't make your hands impure, as there was no impurity on your shoes, was there? Now you had those shoes in your feet as well, with which you've come inside the masjid. There's no shari'i harm in this. It's not a sin. And one's mind doesn't even deem it as disrespect. It is deemed as disrespect when people consider it to be disrespect, which common people don't do in this case. Now let's say in case there was impurity on it, then one is not even allowed to bring such shoes in the masjid, provided that its impurity is confirmed. Now when people normally walk, they do come across puddle of water, etc. Until you are not absolutely sure, nothing will be considered impure until then. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Ya Sayyidi, how is it to run for salah so that one catches the rakah?
It is written on page number 354 of Maktabat al-Madina's book Faizan-e-Namaz that takbir-e-ula, i.e. the primary takbir that is said, to run for takbir-e-ula or jama'at is forbidden. If you lose your breath, you will not get humility in salah. You won't be able to offer salah wholeheartedly. The book of Maktabat al-Madina, that is the publication department of Da'wat-e-Islami, comprising of 168 pages entitled Jaldbazi ke Nuksanat, on page 31 to 32 it says, indeed, it is a great honor to offer salah with jama'at and takbir-e-ula. As Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiyallahu an narrates from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he who offers salah with jama'at and takbir-e-ula for 40 days, for the pleasure of Allah Almighty, two kinds of salvations are recorded for him. One is salvation from hell and the other is from hypocrisy. After this, it is written that some Islamic brothers run to get takbir-e-ula, because of which a stamping noise on the ground is created, which is against the manners of the masjid. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrates that I heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam say that when takbir for salah is called out, then do not come running. Rather, come whilst walking peacefully. Offer what you get and complete what you miss. Under this hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahimahullah states, meaning that do not come running for jama'at anxiously, as there's a risk of falling down and getting injured in it. We learn a few rulings from this. 1. It is mustahab to come for jama'at peacefully and with calmness. running is contrary to mustahab. It's not haram. 2. If you get the last part of salah even, then you will get the jama'at. Therefore, he who joins in the attahiyat of jum'ah salah, i.e. he joins the jum'ah salah, in tashahud, he should offer jum'ah, meaning that he found the jama'at. 3. Whichever rak'ah the muqtadi joins in, that is the first rak'ah from the perspective of number, and last from the perspective of qira'at. The Honorable Mufti further writes, since he left his house with the intention of salah, he is getting the reward for salah. So why does he then rush, fall down and get injured? He should come calmly and offer whatever he gets. Remember that if a person walks to the masjid a little bit fast to get takbir-e-ula or the jama'at such that there is no risk of falling down or getting injured, then there is no harm in it. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My name is Asim Attari. I'm calling from Pakistan. Beloved Sheikh, my question in your court is that, let's say a person recites Surah Al-Fatiha in Qa'da Ula or Qa'da Akhira instead of At-Tahiyyat. In this case, what will be the ruling on that salah of that person? Please guide us in this regard.
If this was done forgetfully, the salah will become makruhe tahrimi, which will be fine if sajda sahv is performed at the end. And if done deliberately, salah will still be makruhe tahrimi and sajda sahv will not suffice. The salah will need to be repeated. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My request in the court of the Amir of Ahl Sunnah is that, Ya Sayyidi, it has been observed that you every now and then talk about Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahmatullah alayhi in the Madani Muzakaras. How do you find his blessed personality to be? Please mention some Madani pearls in this regard.
He is a very big scholar. His blessed shrine is situated in Gujarat, Pakistan, and I have visited it a few times. And I've also beheld him. He was very simple, and we will call him a pious and practicing scholar. That's how he was. Whenever it would be the time of salah, then how things would be in his home is like, there would be a silence with everything coming to a standstill. There would be someone performing wudu, someone getting ready for salah. Everyone would start preparing for salah, leaving out all worldly chores and matters. This was their exemplary passion for salah. Then when he, rahmatullah alayh, once came to Karachi upon his return from Hajj, he was delivering a lecture somewhere. I think it was in Kutiana Community Hall. So it was to be delivered in that hall which someone would have arranged for. So when he, rahimahullah, arrived, I was completely shocked by looking at him. As in, you could not recognize him. I think someone told me that it's him. Otherwise, he was very, very simple, just like an ordinary villager. That's how his appearance looked like. Now he delivered a lecture. I'm talking about before Dawat Islami. So when he delivered the speech, I was completely mesmerized. It was like an ocean of knowledge flowing. Habib and Sharik was the topic of his speech, clarifying that Habib and Sharik are different, as in the beloved messenger of Allah is the Habib of Allah, not Sharik. He, rahimahullah, proved this. And during this speech of his own account that he mentioned, left a great mark on me, which also carried many pearls of wisdom. He, rahimahullah, mentioned that my hand got fractured in Madinatul Munawwara. And the doctor said to me that there needs to be an operation for this. It is fractured. Then he said that I thought to myself that whatever I have received is actually received in Medina. So I kissed it. And I said that, O pain of Medina, for you, place is in my heart. And he said that he did not carry out the operation of the hand. And alhamdulillah, the hand recovered and cured itself. And he lifted his hand and showed it to us like this. In a gathering of thousands it was, or maybe hundreds, where he showed his hand saying that, look, it's broken, and there's no pain in it. So remember that this incident took place during his Hajj journey in Madinatul Munawwara. And later I read in his biography that with the very same hand, he, rahimahullah, authored Tafsiray Naimi with the same broken hand. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
20th November, World's Children's Day. Children are 26% of our population, but 100% of our future. There are many such challenges which are faced by today's child. And out of those, the biggest challenges regarding their health. First 5 years of child's life are very critical as well as sensitive. And according to one estimate, every year 92,000 children die due to pneumonia in Pakistan. Likewise, there are certain diseases which are caused due to unhygienic food and unclean water. UNICEF, an international charity for children, according to their report, every 4 out of 10 children do not have modern medical facilities. And further, if we talk about education, in Pakistan, 20.8 million children are not attending educational institutions. And recent international pandemic has put further serious impact. And now due to social media, latest mobile technology and mobile phones, children have become more busy. Time span is same, but they've got more work to do, which means extra pressure. I want to request Amir of Ahle Sunnah for our children, our upcoming generations. What role can we play as an individual as well as a nation? Could you please elaborate on our roles and responsibilities, individual as well as collective? Jazakallahu khaira.
Indeed, there are these issues that we face. The upbringing of a child is a very difficult thing. Even mothers can't give time nowadays as they also work. Quite a few of them. And generally, children are then looked after by carers. So upbringing will be done by the carer now. The father doesn't have time, then will the neighbor bring up the child? The father comes home tired and then goes asleep? So, not much attention is given to this. We just at times try to normally cuddle them and play with them, thinking that we've done our bit. A proper upbringing is not provided. And it is also a difficult task. It demands a lot of time, a great mindset, and the one who's providing upbringing, he should be trained himself as well. This is also important. If he has not trained himself, then what upbringing will he do? So this is also why upbringing lacks. And unfortunately, the child suffers in the midst of all this. Some people enroll their children in certain institutes for this purpose. Now let's say if it is an educational institute, then it's fine. In fact, it is good. But there are other children there as well. Even if it is a religious institute, now the other untrained children may utter film dialogues and use abusive language. They will talk about film and drama stories. Which house would you find where sinful channels are not played? Cherry on top is the social media that has made the matters more worse. So this way, children are unable to get the right company that they should be getting. We should also make dua in the court of Allah that such means get created for us wherever children get proper upbringing. If parents have yearning passion, backed up by sincere dua, and work hard themselves as well to bring up their children, then inshallah they will succeed in bringing up their children properly. If they leave it only on the institutes, then you don't know what they will end up becoming. And then you should also keep old house in your mind as you're getting old. Hence, their upbringing is very important. You indeed love your children, but you also have to instill your love in their hearts. This is a challenge. An example to understand this entire concept is that you feed a guest with nice food. The guest enjoyed it thoroughly, but at the end of the meal, he said something unpleasant to you, which ruined the entire hospitality of yours. So this is exactly what's happening. That we give our children 99% of love, but that leftover 1%, we ruin it so badly that makes the rest of the 99% go down the drain. Don't do this. Have moderation in everything. A moderate approach is something that can mold your child the way you want him to be. Otherwise, it's very difficult. It's a very difficult task. But we have to do it. And it's been commanded. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and your family from that fire. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ Whose fuel are humans and stones. So we have to do this. May Allah enable us, make efforts. السَّعْيُ مِنِّي وَالْإِتْمَامُ مِنَ اللَّهِ Making effort is from me and its completion is dependent upon Allah's mercy. Man jadda wajada, meaning he who made effort, he attained. So make efforts. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
We have received a text message that if anyone who is honorable, father, teacher, pious personality or waliullah, so in Urdu language they are called as huzur or qibla. Are these titles permissible?
There's no harm in it. Qibla or Kaaba, these are words to pay respect. Huzur is very common in our society. Even I have reservations in this. A person would be clean-shaved, open sinner, and people call him huzur as well. This title has become so cheap, as asked in the question as well. They refer to everyone as Huzur. It wouldn't be surprising if film actors are also. Huzur is a word of reverence. You may refer to ulama as Huzur, or mashayikh as Huzur. This is fine. The awliya, the noble elders, should be referred as Huzur. You may refer to your parents with the title of Huzur out of respect. For you, they are respectable. If they are open sinners, then they are not respectable for others, but they are for you. So it is appropriate and suitable if every title is used according to its befitting usage. It would suit better in this way. We should be mindful of this. Someone said, Al-awamu kal-an'am, meaning that common, public is like livestock. Is this a proverb? Nonetheless, he who is deserving of respect, there's no harm in calling him Huzur, Qibla or Kaaba. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The husband of my maternal aunt has passed away and she is still in her waiting period, i.e. Iddah. So in this case, does she still have to observe veil from her brother-in-laws? And who else does she need to veil from?
There is Shari'i veil from brother-in-law anyways, whether she's in Iddah or not. Shari'i veil will remain as it is during Iddah period as well, and from relatives like father, brother or son. There was no Shari'i veil before, neither now. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
I want to ask one question from Amir of Ahl Sunnah. Actually, we just prayed Salatul Isha here. The prayer mat we got to offer Salatul Isha was something like this, which is image of Ghilaf of Kaaba. The question is it allowed to offer Salah on such prayer mats? Devotees of the Prophet are gathered here. We are in Darus Salam, Tanzania, and they're all saying Salam to you. And I pray that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all barakah.
MashaAllah. The images of the Holy Kaaba and the Green Dome are found on the prayer mats over here as well. For the sake of respect, we should avoid it and not offer Salah on them. But if offered, it will be valid. But you have this feeling in your heart that how would I step on it?
This is image of Ghilafi Kaaba.
Yes, that's right. Generally, you will see the image of the Kaaba on the prayer mats, and you would also see the image of the Green Dome. People are seen offering Salah on them. The Salah will be valid and they will not be sinners either. It is a sort of accepted norm now. No one takes this as disrespect in general, but a concern stays in the heart. So avoiding it seems more appropriate. One should avoid it. Staying respectful is better. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Sometimes when we ask a question from someone, they know the answer of that question, but they pretend that they do not know or they don't have knowledge about that. Now, if a person knows the answer of that question and yet he says that he does not know, will it be classed as a lie? What are Islamic teachings in this regard? Please guide us.
Apparently, it is a lie, provided that he remembers that he knows the answer. Despite this, if he still says that he doesn't know, then it would be a lie, as lying is contrary to actuality, meaning something that is opposite to the truth. This is lying. So what you ask is also a lie. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
We just saw a prayer mat which had image of Kaaba on it, and question was asked whether we can pray on it. Likewise, we've received another question related to a box, and that box is just like a model of Kaaba. And it is asked that this box is used to keep prayer mats or some other things. As you can see, there is also a lid. So when you remove that lid, you can keep different things like prayer mats, and maybe other things are also kept here. Is it permissible to use such boxes, which look like House of Allah, a model of Kaaba? And can we keep sacred things in that box, And what would be ruling if other things, noble things, are kept in such box? Please guide us in this regard. Jazakallahu khaira.
Not only this, people also make small cupboards like this. They use it as wardrobes for their goods. Then same thing would be seen for ether bottle as well. Inside would be the bottle of ether, and the casing outside would be of the Holy Kaaba. Similarly, you will find similar kind of boxes for the Holy Quran as well. Now as for the Quran, no one will feel anything whatsoever. Neither will anyone ask whether it should be made or not. But for these, they will ask. They will have some kind of feeling in their heart, but if prayer mat is kept in it, then that shouldn't lead to any kind of such feelings in the heart. But people do keep other stuff as well, and those cupboards have opening doors. I've seen such wardrobes in houses, they're fairly smaller. We don't find grounds to call it impermissible so that it may be declared impermissible. So whatever people may be like, they would at least have this in their hearts that this resembles Kaaba. It would remind them of the Holy Kaaba. But then what they would do is that they would put something in there which is not appropriate to put in. I won't give examples of such things, but a person can think of himself that what kind of things should be kept in it. If, let's say for example, a person keeps Islamic books or booklets in it, or religious papers or any religious literature, this is understandable. But if he keeps things like pictures of living beings or other inappropriate things, then this wouldn't be nice. The thing is that there shouldn't be these kind of boxes because it is very difficult to observe with due respect. Then at times hands are not clean, and then with same unclean hands people touch the wardrobes. It's difficult to save oneself. And then certain acts are performed that are not appropriate in this case. The element of disrespect will remain with these kinds of boxes. Like for the box of ether, we don't know what people will end up doing with it. After using the ether, they may dispose of the box in the bin. Now you would see packets of dates, especially the ones you get in Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara. There's green dome made on it with beautiful packaging. Now after people have finished eating dates, what do they do with that box? How can I even mention? You know better. What I've observed is that the amount of respect we have, this is not the case everywhere. You will find the Muslims of the subcontinent region who observe immense respect. Another beautiful thing about the Indian subcontinent, the way the Holy Prophet ﷺ is lying in his blessed shrine, his blessed, beautiful, sacred feet are facing in the direction of the Indian subcontinent. So maybe it is the blessings of the blessed feet facing in this direction that it is generally observed that this very region, the Indian subcontinent, observes more respect as compared to some other countries. They are not as respectful as here. In the same way, the blessed door of the Holy Kaaba, Babul Kaaba, when we offer our Salah in Pakistan, then it is Babul Kaaba that we face. The door of the Holy Kaaba, the door of mercy. This is our good fortune. May Allah bless my beloved motherland and save it from the evil eye of the enemy. We have to be loyal to it and not carry out any vandalization in it. We are not to create any havoc in it, rather we are to pray for its peace. There should be a sunnah-based system in it. Every single person should be salah offering, and may it truly and firmly remain a fortress of Islam. May it become and remain, Allah willing. Islam all around. Quranic recitation and naat should be everywhere, and songs, music, etc. And other sins, may they all be removed. And my Pakistan, meaning pure land, may it truly reflect and personify what it literally means. It becomes the land of chaste and pure people. May it become pure in every sense. May Allah settle what I said in your hearts. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
I wanted to ask if two real brothers are not in talking terms, for how many days they can carry on with this breakup?
The question is about separation between two friends and how long can it last for. In this regard, It is mentioned in the hadith of Sahih Bukhari that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, "It is not permissible for any Muslim to abandon conversing and saying salam for more than 3 days." Now let's say if there's a situation where Sharia allows a person, like there's a heretic, then one of course has to stay away from him. Or there's any permissible case, then it's a separate matter. Whereas with us, most of the times it's personal differences. "Why did you say this to me? You didn't invite me there. When I went there, no one entertained me, no one looked after me. They passed remarks at me. He was making fun of me. He was laughing, looking at me. He was sarcastically laughing at me. I understand everything." So based on these kind of nonsensical things, there are distances between people. Don't do this. If we all live under unity, it will greatly benefit. In my childhood, we used to listen to a story that there was a farmer who had 11 sons, and the sons would remain angry of one another. They would argue and quarrel all the time. Once the farmer took 11 pieces of sticks, and he tied them all into a bunch. Then he gave that bunch to each child turn by turn, saying, "Break it, go on, break it." They all tried with full force, but no one could. Then he untied the whole bunch, gave one stick each to everyone, and then said, "Break it now." So all 11 of them instantly broke their sticks into 2 pieces. Then the farmer gathered his children and said that, "Oh sons, if you stay separate and keep fighting with each other, then the enemy will overpower you. He will dominate you. You just saw that as long as these 11 pieces of stick stayed united together, no one could break them. Similarly, as long as you stay united, no one can break you, no one can defeat you, no one can overcome you." So this is just a moral story for our understanding that blessings lie in unity. As soon as unity breaks, there's only loss there. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Madani muzakira, madani muzakira.